Hello, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, October 28th, 2020. As always, we'll begin on the front page. Oh, and an article entitled, Four More in Area Die of COVID. Surge prompts tighter restrictions for Chicago area. Health officials on Tuesday said four additional Central Illinois residents, two from McLean County and two from Woodford County, with COVID-19, have died. The deaths were confirmed as warnings grew about a second wave of infections across the state. An uptick in cases in Chicago also prompted Governor J.B. Pritzker on Tuesday to ban indoor dining and bar services and limit the number of people gathering in one place. We can't ignore what is happening around us, because without action, this could look worse than anything we saw in the spring, Pritzker said, referring to the start of the pandemic when healthcare resources were pushed to the limit because of the overwhelming number of COVID-19 cases. The rules taking effect on Friday will force diners and bar patrons outdoors and shut down service at 11 p.m. No more than 25 people may gather at one time, or fewer if that number would exceed 25% of room capacity. The two McLean County COVID deaths were reported by the Illinois Department of Public Health on Tuesday afternoon. Jessica McKnight, McLean County Health Department Administrator, confirmed later that the deaths were new. The deaths bring to 36 the number of COVID-related fatalities in McLean County since March, including three so far this week. The two Woodford County deaths were a woman in her 80s who lived at Heritage Health El Paso and a man in his 90s who was not associated with a long-term care facility. Both had more than one health condition, said Andrea Ingerson, a health department spokeswoman. We wish their loved ones peace during this difficult time, she said. The deaths mean that 17 Woodford County residents have died of the virus. Benjamin Hart, CEO of Bloomington-based Heritage Operations Group, said on Tuesday that 45 residents of Heritage Health El Paso tested positive for COVID and 8 died. In addition, 17 employees tested positive for the virus. Nursing homes are a reflection of the community in which they are located, Hart told the pantograph. As cases continue to rise in downstate Illinois counties, so do cases in nursing homes. We are doing everything in our power to prevent the outbreaks around us from entering our facilities, Hart continued. Our dedicated staff members take their responsibility very seriously to protect our elderly, frail residents who are the most susceptible to COVID-19. Despite our best efforts with enhanced visitor restrictions, vigilant PPE use, and frequent testing of staff, the coronavirus can still sneak past our doorstep. It is a good reminder that we all have a responsibility as community members to protect our elders, wear masks, social distance, and wash your hands. Illinois Department of Public Health also reported two new deaths in LaSalle County, but those were reported by that county's health department and the pantograph on Monday. The state and county health departments report COVID numbers at different times. In McLean County, McKnight reported on Tuesday night that 42 more McLean County residents have COVID-19, but 55 people have recovered. A total of 189 more people have tested positive so far this week, and 4,212 since March. 36 people have died. The county's 7-day positivity rate, The percent of county residents who have tested positive for the virus in the past week was 5.4% on Tuesday, compared with 4.9% on Monday. But the county's cumulative positivity rate of the more than 97,000 COVID tests of county residents since March remained at 4.3%. At the COVID-19 testing site at the McLean County Fairgrounds, located at 1106 Interstate Drive, Bloomington, 746 people were tested on Monday, McLean County Emergency Management Agency reported on Tuesday. That site, operated by Reditus Laboratories, is open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily except holidays and during severe weather. People may pre-register at testdirectly.com/McLean. Illinois State University reported on Tuesday that of the 1,393 student tests performed on campus in the past week, 36 have come back positive for a positivity rate of 2.6%, compared with 2.8% the day before. Of 14,596 student tests on campus since August 17th, 1,440 have been positive for COVID for a positivity rate of 9.8%. That number has been gradually declining since mid-September. ISU also reported that 1,404 students have recovered from the virus. Elsewhere in central Illinois, Woodford County reported 25 new cases, an increase of 181 since October 13th, to bring that county's total to 681. Tazewell County had 48 new cases, meaning its new total is 2,725 cases. Livingston County reported 22 new cases, bringing its total to 702. And LaSalle County reported 38 new cases, meaning its total is 2,464 cases. As we look forward to enjoying fall holiday celebrations, it is important to remember that even small gatherings of families and friends can put people at increased risk for COVID-19, McKnight said. Celebrating virtually or with members of your own household poses the lowest risk, McKnight said. Host outdoor activities rather than indoor activities as much as possible. If hosting an outdoor event is not possible and you choose to host an indoor event, limit the number of attendees as much as possible and avoid crowded, poorly ventilated, or fully enclosed indoor spaces. Increase ventilation by opening windows and doors to the extent that is safe and feasible based on the weather. Chicago, which comprises Region 11 of the state's 11 COVID-19 monitoring regions, joins six other regions subject to what the Pritzker administration calls resurgence mitigations. A day earlier, Pritzker imposed the restrictions on Region 10, Cook County outside of Chicago, and Lake County to the north. After a summer of declining case numbers, Illinois fared better than many other states, particularly in the South and West. They began climbing again in August and jumped this month. There were 4,000 new infections and 46 additional deaths Tuesday, bringing total cases to 382,985, with 9,568 deaths. There were 2,758 hospitalized, an 86% increase from a month ago, and both intensive care patients at 595 and 241 on ventilators represented increases in the 70% range. Other regions which hit the mitigation bar did so when positive rates of COVID-19 test results topped 8% for three consecutive days. Dr. Ezeki, the state public health director, said the latest additions, Cook County on Monday and Chicago on Tuesday, have seen the troubling rise in numbers of sick people requiring inpatient treatment, as well as a jump in positive test results. Based on current trends, we soon could face reduced hospital bed availability and overwhelming our healthcare systems, Ezeki reported. The following COVID-19 case totals and deaths by county since March were reported on Tuesday. McLean, 4,212 cases, 36 deaths. Tazewell, 2,725 cases, 57 deaths. Woodford, 681 cases, 17 deaths. Livingston, 702 cases, 10 deaths. Logan, 616 cases, 5 deaths. LaSalle, 2,464 cases, 65 deaths. DeWitt, 334 cases, 5 deaths. Piatt, 267 cases, 0 deaths. Ford, 204 cases, 14 deaths. Marshall, 159 cases, 3 deaths. And Champaign, 5,987 cases, 28 deaths. Adams named Pantograph president. Dan Adams has been named president and director of local sales and marketing for the Central Illinois Publishing Group of Lee Enterprises, which includes the Pantograph in Bloomington, the Herald and Review in Decatur, the Journal Gazette and Times Courier in Charleston, Mattoon. I am very pleased to introduce Dan to these markets, said Lee Group publisher Chris White. His marketing and leadership experience will be very beneficial for both our business and our clients in this ever-changing media landscape. Dan understands how to effectively use data and insights to drive results for our marketing partners. Adams previously served as director of sales at A4 Media, Vice President of Client Services at Altice USA, and owner of several businesses, including a home care company, lifestyle magazine, and a digital agency. He previously worked in leadership positions with Lee Enterprises in Billings, Montana, Madison, Wisconsin, and Davenport, Iowa. Adams said, "The products we have in Central Illinois are hugely successful, and the advertisers within those markets have many opportunities to be successful. We've done a great job of serving our customers over the years, but business is changing. It is becoming more digital and becoming more customer-focused when it comes to full-service agency-type work. One of the things that we do really well in smaller markets is offer a variety of these services to help make our businesses successful that don't just include our print products." Adams, who has plans to move to the area soon, says he understands the media climate is in a state of transition. "What I see in the future, particularly with advertisers, is a real movement toward direct communication with their customers and our consumers and their consumers," he said. "One of the ways to do that is to utilize some of the services that are new to our offering, which are data being analytics. We have a company that helps identify our customers, consumers, and who uses them, and we can help them create look-alike audiences and create avenues where their dollars can be best spent. Whether it is through us or other products, we can handle all of those products." Adams said the Central Illinois Publishing Group is in the process of becoming more of a full-service entity. It's where we can take advantage of the new tools we have to offer and help local advertisers make great choices to help increase their businesses, he said. It's particularly important now in this day and age with COVID and the fact that people are staying home more and not getting out to the brick and mortar stores. Adams has served as board member of the Scott County YMCA, the Vera French Mental Health Center, and the Davenport One Downtown Partnership. He's originally from Montana and is a graduate of the Northwestern University Kellogg School of Management. He plans to be just as involved in his new community. I'm excited to have the opportunity to connect and partner with local businesses throughout Central Illinois, Adams said. As we accelerate our digital transformation, the most important thing we can do is offer the best-in-class products and services to our readers and advertisers. Our continued growth will rely on our ability to help these community businesses be successful, and I'm grateful to lead our efforts with these new opportunities. Today's Flick Fact. Question. Still in reruns on several TV channels is the sitcom Mike and Molly, on which Tony Award-winning Rondi Reed appeared as Mike's hilariously mouthy, tell-it-like-it-is mom, Peggy. So, where was Peggy 43 years ago? And the answer? Rarely mentioned in the large group of highly successful Illinois State University theater graduates, Rondi Reed, 68, is yet another, having graduated from ISU in 1977. She played Roseanne's therapist, appeared in Seinfeld, originated the role of Madame Morrible in the Chicago production of Wicked, and won a Tony on Broadway for her role in August, Osage County, before becoming Peggy. Reed is originally from Dixon, Illinois. Today in history. Today is Wednesday, October 28th. It's the 302nd day of 2020. We have 64 days left in this year. Today's highlight. On October 28, 1962, Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev informed the United States that he had ordered the dismantling of missile bases in Cuba. In return, the U.S. secretly agreed to remove nuclear missiles from U.S. installations in Turkey. On this day in 1858, Roland Hussey Macy opened his first New York store at 6th Avenue and 14th Street in Manhattan. In 1886, the Statue of Liberty, a gift from the people of France, was dedicated in New York Harbor by President Grover Cleveland. In 1922, fascism came to Italy as Benito Mussolini took control of the government. In 1940, Italy invaded Greece during World War II. And in 1976, former Nixon aide John D. Ehrlichman entered a federal prison camp in Safford, Arizona, to begin serving his sentence for Watergate-related convictions. He was released in April of 1978. And how time flies locally from the back pages of the Pantograph. 100 years ago, October 28, 1920, the specimen ballot for next week's election appeared in today's paper. No less than 7 parties have fielded slates of candidates for president and vice president, but only one has a complete slate for local offices. 3 parties appear in name only with no candidates. 75 years ago, October 28, 1945, Mrs. Jacob Hauser of Bloomington, learned of the deaths of three of her sisters in Switzerland, two of them in 1943. Their passing was connected to the war, but details were sketchy in her nephew's letter. It's Mrs. Hauser's 81st birthday, and she'll dine with family here in Bloomington. 50 years ago, October 28, 1970, developer Jacob Grossman announced plans to build a shopping center on the site of the former St. Joseph's Hospital at Jackson and Morris. He will tear down part of the hospital in the process. "I just want a nice neighborhood shopping center," he said. And 25 years ago today, October 28, 1995, a $3.2 million tax protest has been filed in McLean County. A Bloomington attorney filed the protest in court. The document, 8 inches thick, alleges tax code violations in 118 taxing districts. It covers about 3% of all taxes collected in McLean County. City recognizes Juneteenth holiday. Juneteenth will now be recognized as a city holiday in Bloomington. The City Council approved the change on Monday. Held on June 19, Juneteenth is the oldest nationally celebrated commemoration of ending slavery. City Manager Tim Gleason said the Human Relations Commission would lead educational events that would take place to celebrate the holiday. "The educational aspect of it was extremely important to me," said Ward 3 Alderperson Mabaka Milwabi, who brought forth the initial proposal in July. The approved proposal includes educational events that would be held the weekend following June 19. If the holiday were to fall on a weekday, city employees would not receive a paid day off. The implementation of the city holiday comes after the council has discussed the topic multiple times over the last few months. Discussion during last week's committee of the whole meeting included proposals for what recognizing the holiday would look like. Also on Monday, the council approved moving forward with a proposal created by Deputy City Manager Billy Tyus for a public arts commission that would help display local art throughout the city. The council also discussed this measure at their meeting last week and came to the conclusion that they would have to vote on the implementation of a 7-person committee and funding specific projects. Connect Transit halts fares until March. Connect Transit passengers will be able to continue riding public transit for free during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Connect Transit Board of Trustees on Tuesday unanimously approved suspending fare collection until March 8th for all fixed route and Connect mobility services. "Since we're going into the winter months, we do not see anything major changing that would lead staff to recommend that we go back to fares," Martin Glaze, interim general manager, said Tuesday during the meeting. The board halted fare collection in March to eliminate contact between bus riders and operators and help prevent the spread of COVID-19. The suspension also seeks to reduce crowding at the front door and fare box. Connect Transit staff estimates a $300,000 loss in fare box revenue from November to March 8th, but expects to replace the revenue with federal funding provided through the CARES Act. The board also Tuesday adopted a new agency safety plan as required by the Federal Transit Administration. The plan seeks to provide a proactive approach to managing passenger and employee safety, said Glaze. Renner, named Ward to seat. Molly Ward has been selected to fill the Ward 7 alderman seat. The city council announced on Tuesday that Mayor Terry Renner picked Ward to occupy Alderman Scott Black's seat until April 30, 2021. Black previously announced his last day on the council will be October 31st. The council is expected to consider the recommendation at their meeting on November 9th. I am really honored and excited to be nominated to represent the people of Ward 7, said Ward, a longtime Bloomington resident. She said that she's lived in the ward for 20 years and hopes to contribute positive change to the neighborhood. Ward is the director of spiritual care for Carl Broman Medical Center and Carl Eureka Hospital. She holds a bachelor's degree in journalism from the University of Oklahoma and a Master of Divinity degree from Seabury Western Theological Seminary. She is the faith and outreach co-chair for the Bloomington Normal Not in Our Town Steering Committee, the co-founder and co-chair of the McLean County Interfaith Alliance, and member and chaplain of the Diocese of Springfield Episcopal Church Women's Board. Crime Stoppers, man wanted for home invasion. Bloomington Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs the public's help in finding a person who's wanted for felony charges. Richard B. Fleming, 42, is 5 feet 7 inches tall and weighs 165 pounds. He has brown hair and blue eyes. His last known address is in Normal, Illinois. Fleming is wanted for home invasion. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. To report this or any other crime, you can call Crime Stoppers at 309-828-1111. Bloomington's 5-day forecast. Today, there'll be some sunshine giving way to clouds. You can expect 3 to 6 hours of sunshine with average relative humidity of 65%. There is a chance of a touch of rain tonight with a chance of precipitation at 55% and humidity at 75%. There's a chance of a little rain tomorrow from Tropical Storm Zeta. Temperatures are expected to be between 49 and 29 degrees. Friday will be sunny but chilly. Temperatures between 50 and 33 degrees. Saturday, sunshine. The winds will subside and the temperatures will be 56 to 35 degrees. Sunday will be sunny, windy, and again cooler, with temperatures ranging between 45 and 25 degrees. I'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for October 28, 2020. Please stay tuned.